governmental officials, we are all welcome to this meeting. Minister, you are welcome. Without any waste of time, we'll start with the meeting. Are there any apologies, Akona? There are two apologies. We all know that Honorable Magubane is not well. He's still on sick leave. The second one is from the DG of the acting DG, Mr. Sam Fujaya, who had prior arrangements. So these are the only two apologies. I don't know, Minister, whether you do have something to say before we can start with our meeting, or should we just pray, ask Ntateli Kutle to start with his presentation and to indicate that Honorable Mr. Lukutle always when we start with our meeting, we talk about honesty. Last week, we had to send the Confederal staff back to Pretoria because we were not happy with the presentation of the report, and it was not on. They were still presenting old figures. The only thing that was done was just the reshaping of the sentences and all that, but the reports were still the same. So we expect the best out of today's presentation, especially that the minister is here. We want to get the real issues. Over to you. Mr. Lukutle, the CEO, Matuke, my apology that. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Honorable Minister, Honorable Members of the committee, members of the media, and colleagues. I'll simply just go through the presentation. We have also given honorable members a narrative of the report, which provides far more detailed explanation with regard to some of the issues that I'll be raising throughout the presentation. And with me here, I've got next to me Mr. Ntombeni, who is the Chief Director, IGR, and next to him, I've got Mr. Devon Play, who is also Chief Director, Policy. Thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson, the presentation here will address the following issues. The institutional arrangements and oversight cycle, because I'll be talking about the four entities that account for the Department of Public Works. We'll deal also with the framework for the accredited performance reviews, expenditure trends, also performance report for each of them, and then the Built Environment Professional Professions Bill, also performance report for the CIDB, for the IDT, and for agreement. And then we'll also look into the issues of governance and work in progress with regard to all the other entities.
Before proceeding, we received a black and white slide and one can differentiate. Here we need to have color that one can be able to read.
Honorable Chairperson, I'll make arrangements quickly to ensure that the members have the colored copies. We actually make provision for them so that they can do the person speaking. My apologies for that, Chairperson, honorable members. The aim of the department is to provide and manage the accommodation, housing, land, and infrastructure needs of national government departments, lead and direct the implementation of the National Expanded Public Works Program, and promote growth, job creation, and transformation in the construction and property industry. Also, to assist carry out this mandate, the government has established four entities, namely the CBE, the CIDB, ASA, and the IDT. Each of these entities contributes in its own unique way to achieving the department's mandate. In order to monitor the performance, the four entities of the department have submitted their 2011-12 quarterly report in line with the requirements of Treasury regulations. And still, arrangements, Chairperson, and oversight cycle. This is what we have for the entities at the moment. the quarterly strategic plans, which were due January, which we received, quarterly reports, and the quarterly performance review meetings that we have with them regularly and with the minister, which normally take place in February. The quarterly performance reviews also around about February, and there's also been information in May. And participation in MINMEC, the entities are generally part of the MINMEC, of course, at the behest of the minister, and also participation of HODs, which takes place on a quarterly basis as well, because normally we have a technical MINMEC to which all HODs or departments are members, and also have the MINMEC itself. And then annual reports, which are generally due by end of August. The framework for the performance review meeting focuses mainly on the performance report, governance matters, financial report, areas for political guidance, and areas for ministerial intervention. This is with regards to all the four entities I'm going to be talking about. The next slide, honorable members, slide number 6, talks to the expenditure trends for the four entities. For the Council for the Built Environment, the current financial year, 29 million rands, 29.7, and for the CIBD, we've got 109 million, and for AGRIMA, 9.4, and for the IDT, we've got 498, and the contribution for the government is actually generally 647 million per annum. And the expenditure to date for the CBE is 5.1, which comprises about 17% of their total budget. And, you know, for the CIDB, we spent to date is 22.9, which comprises 21%. And 17%, I must be frank, is actually below, in the sense that by this time of the year, we should be talking in excess of 25% if people are performing appropriately or according to expectation. And then AGRIMA, out of their budget of 9.4, spent to date is 2.4. And that is at 26%. That is actually far more better performance, even though we should at this point, because we're in the second month of the second quarter, we should be talking in excess of 30%. But that's better compared to the other entities. The IDT at 498.6 million, spent to date is 80.5, that is 16%. That is far below the expected, you know, performance. As I said earlier on, that performance should be, by the first quarter, we're talking about 25, but generally speaking, there tends to be a tendency to underspend in the first quarter, and you'll see a lot of members that then after the second quarter, or during the second quarter, spending starts improving a bit. And then from this figure, the average expenditure for all entities for the first quarter is about 17%, and that is the issue that I've just raised now. And the available budget for all of them together is 536.5 million rand for the financial year. The first report for the CBE, which is responsible for the transformation of the built environment professions, protection of the public from unsafe practices by built environment professionals within South Africa and ensure good governance in the provision of professional services to the built environment by practitioners in both the public and private sectors. In order to implement this mandate effectively, the CBE structured its business, you know, in the following ways. They've got four programs: administration, built environment, skills academy, center for innovation and integrated planning, and public interest. The CBE oversees the following built environment professional councils: the Engineering Council of South Africa, the South African Council of Architectural Professions, South African Council of Property Valuers Professions, South African Council of Quantity Surveying Professions, and South African Council of Landscape Architectural Professions, also the South African Council of Project and Construction Management Profession. Their service list, the other targets are as follows. All matters are sponsored by the Auditor General. You know, their commitment was that, their target was that they will be fully addressed in the current financial year. And actual performance is at end of first quarter, all issues raised by internal and external auditors have been fully addressed. Yeah, that has been confirmed. No one of the packets, again, the second packet is the new and improved performance management and development system available by 30 September 2011 and ready for use in the next financial year. This is a new system that they were introducing in the CBE. You know, to date, their performance, they've revised the performance management development system policy, and it was tabled at the Human Resource Committee. It is still in the process of being finalized by that committee. The third target is report on accreditation of built environment programs at tertiary institutions submitted to Council by 30 September 2011. To date, they've developed the terms of reference for the appointment of the service provider, and the monitoring tools were developed as well. One of their targets, the current financial year, is standards generating body policy framework will be approved by the Council on 30 March 2012. The Council has to date approved the policy position papers. So the framework will be finalized as planned, according to their project plan. The other target is 6 sets of databases will be accessible to all CDE stakeholders for research purposes by the end of 2012. The process of preparation for the event has started, so they are rolling out the program in line with their targets for the financial year. 4 identical identification of work relations started by 30 March 2012. To date, 3 regulations have been approved by the Council. So they are left with at least one. So it means they will be meeting the target that they've set for the 30th of the following financial year. 100% of all tribunal and appeal cases resolved in legal time frame. This is an issue that has also been raised with the respective entity. And to date, 7 cases carried over from the previous financial year are still work in progress. Now, members, we are now on that slide number 10, which has got the 2 pie charts, which divides the demographics, you know, in terms of professional and candidates as at 31st March 2011. And the other one divides professional and candidate demographic profile as of 30 June 2011. And honourable members will see that we've got green there, still about 66.4% is still white, and black is about 20.2%, and colored is about 2.9%, and we've got Indian, Asian, it's about 6.7%, and other is 3.8%. This is a matter that has been discussed here innumerably, and on which members have raised concern, and on which there are a number of plans to ensure that this scenario improves, and ensure that at least there's a fairer presentation of other races in the professional demographics. Number 11, the Built Environment Professionals Bill. This has meant to address, among others, the slow pace of transformation in the built environment professions, as indicated in the previous slide, in the pie chart. DPW has started the process of reviewing the built environment. As part of the consultation process, the department met with the presidents and registrars of all BE professional councils, including CBE on 5 May 2011. A task team has also been put together that comprises of representatives from all BE professional councils and the Department of Public Works, which was established. You know, this task team, I'm sorry, members, let me just sort out the language. The task team has been established jointly with the Department of Public Works and the BE Professional Council. Currently, the government is in the process of revising the draft policy position to accommodate the input already made by the draft team. The CIDB, Construction Industry Development Board, its mandate is to provide service direction for sustainable growth, reform and empowerment, improvement of the construction sector and its role in the economy, as well as to promote an enabling regulatory and development framework for effective infrastructure delivery, improved industry performance, sustainable growth, and transformation. The group structure that CIDB is currently using to implement its mandate is as follows. They also have four programs, the first one being growth and contractor development, under which they also have the very known program that we are sponsoring as a department, which ensures that there is a serious political intervention within the construction industry, also ensuring that we build your upcoming black construction enterprise. Program 2, Construction Industry Performance, Procurement and Delivery Management is Program 3, and Construction Register Services is number 4. which I think remains a challenge which has been raised innumerably, which I think will be dealt with in the current financial year. The targets are as follows: National Conduct and Development Program, NCDP framework document, annually revised and board endorsed. The performance to date, comments and recommendations from key stakeholders solicited and considered and the draft compiled. The honourable members would note that this is something that is done regularly, and it includes provinces to ensure that we take their inputs on board and their experiences as well, because there's sometimes lopsided development based on strengths of each province. The second target there being one practice note of brochure issued per quarter to inform clients on CIDB regulations, and practice note 22C issued in June 2011 on the CIDB infrastructure gateway system. The third target there being registration of grade 2 to 9 contractors completed within a maximum of 21 working days based on all compliant applications. This has been achieved. It's also been a challenge over the years for the CIDB to improve on the turnaround time, and this has since been improved. Query captured, investigated, and proposed resolutions communicated to originators of queries within a turnaround time of 48 hours. This has been achieved. In the past, there's been an outcry by contractors that they tend to raise issues with the CIDB, particularly with regard to their grades, and that tended to take far too long and tended to also prejudice them in terms of the time, the tendering processes. You know, this has also been addressed. So turnaround times have been improved strongly there with the intervention of the political head. A performance report of the Independent Development Trust. The goal of the IDT is also to use its resources together with those of its strategic partners in ways which, in the opinion of the trustees, will best serve to enable poor communities in the Republic of South Africa to access resources and recognize and unlock their potential so as to continuously improve their quality of life. To implement the mandate, the IDT operations are driven through the following two strategic goals. One, sustainable development with more focus on implementation of targeted and people-centered interventions for sustainable development in marginalized and impoverished communities. Second one, being to ensure that the IDT becomes an efficient, effective and compliant public entity and development agency. The IDT is followed in, you know, alternative construction methods through its programs. The Department of Public has appointed IDT as an implementing agent to pilot the use of alternative construction methods within the school building program, focusing on the eradication of mud schools and unsafe structures. And the minister here has made serious interventions, and I'm sure a lot of members are aware that there are a number of schools that we've been constructing in the Eastern Cape, and we have, today the minister has launched a few of those schools, and we'll continue to actually open some as they're being completed. And we're putting more pressure to ensure that this is done speedily, to ensure that our children attend school in very good conditions. 130 million has been transferred to the IDT to build 13 schools in the Eastern Cape, 11 million to get 2 in Northwest, as I just mentioned now, using the alternative construction methods. Two of the 11 schools in the Eastern Cape were handed over recently, as I've just mentioned. I have a tendency to have also summarized, and I talked to one bullet point, and I say the whole story there. So two of the 11 schools, as I've earlier on mentioned, were handed over recently. One at Willowvale and another one at Lusikisiki. The other meaning schools are at different levels of construction, but the intention is for them to also be completed in the current financial year. This is a program that the minister is driving passionately. And IDT continued, lessons learned through the use of alternative construction methods. These methods are technology intensive, requiring specialized knowledge and training. This limitation must be taken into account in determining project time frames. Social facilitation is paramount for securing community buy-in of the ACM, and social facilitation is normally done through the EPROP within the department. Providers of ACMs tend to place more focus on capability of methodology with less emphasis on normal construction interrupters. Hence, project skills should be adjusted for such. Alternative construction methods are capital intensive and fast, therefore offer jobs for shorter periods, and thus the share of labor costing project is minimal. So here what honorable members are trying to mention is the fact that we know that our main goal as a department, one of our biggest mandates, is the creation of jobs in our country. And we're saying, whilst this is faster, and it assists to ensure that we achieve the goal of constructing this, the infrastructure in the communities, the challenge is that the jobs are often for a shorter period. So it means that we're not going to be able to be claiming from the incentive based on FTEs, full-time equivalent. And again, there's also a general issue with communities sometimes of acceptance of the taxes, but I think this is being solved efficiently by the department through social participation programs. Alternative construction methods providers are largely concentrated around big cities and thus often lack local knowledge and networks. Some have significant portions of material manufactured in Gauteng, resulting in transport logistics challenges and time delays. In some of the areas where we are building, there are also huge challenges in that you'll find it's a terrain where it's very difficult to construct a road, so it's very difficult to deliver materials on site. But that we continue doing indefinitely. Technology owners are not necessarily contractors. Thus, the power relations and dynamics between appointed contractors and technology owners affect project stability. These methods also require quantity surveyors' experience in ACMs for cost control. There are not many of these skills in the market at the moment. ACM specialized material production capacity does not appear to be geared for producing high volumes within a short period. As a result, fewer specialized machines in the hands of few people. So that's still very highly specialized, so it's still very difficult to ensure that this technology is accessible to all the people or our communities. The targets to date are that for this year, value of BE spent should be at 1.4 billion. And to date, at the end of the first quarter, 546 million has already been spent. So, members, if we do a calculation there, and if this figure is definitely anything to go by, it is definitely a confirmation that we will definitely meet the target of 1.4 through this entity. In fact, it means at the moment we're exceeding the budget. The value of women contractors and service providers, 600 million rand, is planned to be spent in the current financial year. To that regard, 197 million has been spent to date. So here we're also doing fairly well, and I think this is also a very good indication in that there's always been a challenge with regard to ensuring that women contractors also make ensure that they have a bigger work share in the construction environment, and that we've got this goal through the IDT means that there's serious commitment to ensure that the numbers of women are improved in the construction industry. 1050 or minimum number of community facilities erected. To date, of the 1,050, 87 has already been erected. 55 women contractors are supported, 102 already supported through technical training as part of contractor development. So it means the target has already been exceeded. So it means that we will exceed it by a far bigger margin by the end of the current financial year. 35,732 jobs created, and to date, 3,879, as at end of the first quarter, has already been created. One job equals 100 plus days employment. It means if we go on this way, we should be able to increase the time and ensure that we claim the FETs through the incentive grant, and ensure that we improve on the contribution towards job creation. Payment turnaround time from the receipt of invoice, 14 days. Today, 6.2 days achieved. There's been a tremendous improvement in this regard. I know that in the PFM we talk about 30 days, and there's a tendency for people to think that when you say 30 days, particular officials, they must wait until 30 days, or maybe the 20th day and start paying. And the minister has been outspoken on ensuring that this matter is definitely dealt with seriously, so that officials can ensure that we pay much, much earlier. And I think 14 days definitely should be the benchmark. And the fact that we're being 6.2 means that we're being far better than expected. Meet Auditor General requirements. This has been achieved based on 2010-11 financial year audit. Development of business case. Draft business case we finalized for approval by the board on 19 June 11. And I also can attest to the committee, honorable members, and chairperson and minister, that this business case has been presented to the ExCo of the department, and it is at the moment being considered by the minister for finalization, and it should be at least finalized by end of the second quarter. And the business plan's intention is actually to turn around the IDT and also to transform it further so that it meets the objectives as set out by the department, and also to align it and adapt it to the changing environment in our country. As the IDT continues, the memorandum of agreement has been entered into between the department and the IDT as part of the appointment of IDT as an intermediary for the implementation of the EPLP non-state sector NGOs program. And to this end, there's also an urge by other departments to also consider utilizing the resources of the IDT, but this, I must also emphasize, honorable members, has to be done through the department, and that is what is happening at the moment, that must be done through the minister before it can be approved. The non-state sector work opportunities targeted for 2011-12, financial year is 38,400, and the total budget allocated is 163.55 million. Further breakdown of the budget is as follows: 152.8 for wage incentives to non-state sector entities, 1.5 for bank charges for beneficiaries, and 9.1 for administrative costs to the IDT. The report for AGRIMA. The mandate of AGRIMA is to facilitate the introduction, application, and utilization of satisfactory innovation and technology development in the construction industry by providing assurance of fitness of purpose for such technologies in order to optimize resource utilization and realize cost savings in the industry. The strategic thrust of AGRIMA is as follows. One, it shall serve consumer and user interests by providing assurance of fitness for purpose of innovation, non-standardized construction technology. It shall determine correct, objective, and relevant information to all stakeholders in respect of technical, socio-economic, and regulatory aspects of innovation technology and non-standardized construction technology. Audit the quality management systems of certificate holders. It also shall support the application of the national building regulations and shall also work with the construction sector to facilitate the introduction of cost-effective, innovative technology and non-standardized construction technology. It shall also facilitate acceptance of innovative products within the context of government's new priorities and policies. The targets are as follows. Develop a new criterion for verification of manufacturers' environmental claims and declaration of their products and systems. The criterion is in the process of being developed. 10 certificate holders will be submitted to quality audits. 11 has been achieved to date. So the target has been exceeded at this time of the, you know, this period of the financial year. So it means the number can only improve. 4 certificates will be subjected to 3-year review. 5 has been achieved to date. So it means this target has also been exceeded. 1 audit will be carried out for foreign assessment organizations. 2 audits have been carried out to date. So the target has also been exceeded. Governance issues. Board appointments. The CRDB appointment, and the CRD was appointed and inaugurated on the 13th of June 2011. The minister did the inauguration, and honorable members, I can also report here that went extremely well. The board for AGRIMA SA appointed and inaugurated on the 9th July 2011. The minister did that as well, and it went extremely well. Work that is in progress. At the moment, the appointment of the CDE and CIDB CEOs in conjunction with the Council and Board in service of another CDCO are scheduled for 30 August 2011. Today, the Minister has appointed one of the DDGs to be one of the members of the panel that is going to appoint the CEO today. So that panel is sitting today, as I'm reporting to the Honorable Committee. CEO for CIDB's last working day is today as well. Is it a 30th? I just wanted to be certain. Chairperson said one must be wary of untruth. So I wanted to be sure that today is certainly the 30th, you know. So I'm not saying today and only find that it's, you know, another date. So the last working day of the CEO of the CIDB is today, honorable chairperson and members. The department is working with EXA and CDE, and the minister has also already met with EXA where a number of issues were discussed, some of which are transformation related. And the CBE to appoint the new council for EXO. The process of calling for nominations will commence by the 31st August this year. The IDT business case and recapitalization, as I've already reported to honorable members, this has been considered by the EXCO of the department, and it is now heading for the Minister for Consideration and Finalization. Appointment of the new IDT Board of Trustees, the call for nominations will be published before the end of September 2011, and this is a process that is underway currently, honorable members. Agreement, business case, the bill will be tabled Parliament early in 2012. CBE has developed its turnaround strategy and will be presenting to the Department of Public Works soon. And I also can report here that CBE was due to present to the Departmental Executive Committee last week. They will be presenting this week. And after the EXCO has looked through their presentation, it will then be presented to the Honorable Minister for consideration and finalization. Honorable members, I thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Can honourable members, can I allow the minister to comment on the presentation? Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Just for the sake of people who may not understand, ministers are part of the portfolio committee. So as and when my diary allows me, I will come and attend meetings with you. Because before I become a minister, I'm a member of parliament. And that makes me a member of portfolio committee, right? I just want to comment on the presentation. And after everybody has had a discussion, we can then explain to you why we thought it's important for us to come here this morning in particular. Number one is that there are a number of overlaps in our entities. And maybe if the portfolio committee could start looking at how we can make sure that we maximize what we have in the entities for the department. For instance, if you have the CBE running a huge research unit, do you need it at the CIDB? Do you need a research unit again in public works? All those people are advising us on the built environment. Surely we can save. I know that the drive is to create more jobs and so on, but we also don't want to create more duplication. We could then make use of that expertise elsewhere. I thought that maybe the portfolio committee should look at that. But the general pattern of public works is that we cannot spend. The figures that were shown, where people have spent 16% when they should be somewhere closer to 30%. The problem with this is that towards the end of the financial year, we dump money on projects that may not actually be that important at that point in time, but everybody, the minister will then be on the official to say, why are you not spending and so on and so forth. The time is now for us to put pressure. Our department is about creating work. When you see South Africans moving up and down the streets of South Africa idly, you need to ask yourself, what is it at public works that we're not doing correctly? When the streets are dirty, when the streets can't be accessed, all those kind of small little things that people might think that these are not important, they're important to the majority of South Africans who can create employment. So I'm not personally happy COO about our performance as it is at the moment, and I think that is a message that we need to send to EXCO, or better still, invite me to the next EXCO. Because at the end of the day, it is not you guys who are in the newspapers of South Africa, it's me, when in actual fact you are not spending the money. If there are problems of capacity or problems of, let us identify that. I know very well that we're doing extremely well in terms of addressing the vacancy rate that we have. We've had over 600, and I think we're standing at 100 and something now, which I think is a very good indication that you have employed as many people as you're supposed to. And whilst I am at employment check, there's another area where you need to help us seriously is to make sure that we attract people with disability. We are not succeeding there, and I think it's something that we need to look at. The CIDP, one of the requirements of the Act, COO, is that we should be having a database of all the projects that are run by the state from the CIDP. It is not there. Even the last cabinet raised that point. So if we can just get, even if it's a draft that we can send to the portfolio committee to get an indication. And I'll tell you why at times you find reluctance. That database is going to give us a lot of indications. It's going to show you Masangu in Free State, Masangu in Limpopo, Masangu in KZN, the same company doing work for the state. And for that reason, honorable members, I would like you to make as much noise as possible. We need that record, that register. It's called for by the Act, the CIDP Act, and therefore it means that we are neglecting our work because the law tells us that we need to do that and it has to be done. I'm very happy we have a new board. I've never interacted much with the old board because they came just, I came when they were just packing to go. But I've met this new board and they're very energetic. They bring a huge knowledge in the built environment. I'm sure we can have a very good working relationship with them. At some stage, I would be happy if the portfolio committee could talk about the grading at the CIDP. Most of the people who look like me are at a grade lower there, and which means that all the big projects in this country will never be in the hands of black people. And I'm saying there might be an entry level that is necessary, but people should progress towards. People can't just remain at 2 and 3 and 4, because that is an excuse. Every time you say, but why can't we get transformation, they say, no, but the grading. Now, let us examine the grading. It may have been some of the things that we never focused on, and let us look at that and see whether, with that grading, can we still be talking about transformation? Why are we punishing the CBE for transformation when, in actual fact, we have tools that will make them not be able to deliver that? Okay. I think we spoke a lot about alternative construction methods, but those are not the only methods that we're going to be using. We have a backlog in this country, and people must understand that we cannot continue having children in mud schools whose problem is, when is this little roof going to fall onto my head? And then look at the methods that are going to take forever to give us the school. Where we don't have backlogs, we will definitely use brick and mortar, because the other propaganda out there is that we're doing away with brick and mortar. We can't. But if we can get a school within 3 months up and running, let us do so. And that goes to, for the NHI to succeed to do what they want to do, they need buildings. Health needs buildings. And the last report we got from Health was that there are 504 incomplete structures in the country. Now, if we had that CIDP report or record, we would be knowing which company is responsible for it. Because I'm not going to be chasing, driving around looking for incomplete buildings and say, okay, this is this one and so on. The report, the draft report that I have from the Auditor General, it's not a very good report. And I don't want us to hide the truth that is in that report, because we need to deal with issues that are there, and where it is pointing at fraud or whatever, we need to get structures of the state, the judiciary, and anybody who deals with the law to get in there and do some work. I'm very happy that SALGA has now new leadership, and I would have loved us, as soon as they just get used to their environment, that we invite them, whether at the portfolio committee level or with the officials of the department, to just understand where the problems are with using EPWP allocation. If there are problems, we can then speak to the DBSA or ourselves, make sure that there is capacity of local government to make sure that we unlock that money. For these 3 years, we have about over 700 and something And if we're not going to assist, it's going to be the same like every other year. The website, the figures, I'm happy that you said, because I was not understanding. The target talks about 55. You're actually 105. And I thought that there were problems. Public Works is known for giving incorrect numbers. I don't know where that comes from.
Thank you.
Every time Public Works figures, and I'm saying this from experience, I've been in these benches for 17 years. First as a whip, then as a chairperson of a committee, then as a deputy speaker of the National Assembly, and then as the speaker. Let alone my experience as government, but as a backbencher, you can't take advantage of me on the basis of that. I know very well, and I think let us correct our figures. Don't give the portfolio committee what you think is music to their ears. The portfolio committee is here to assist the department. So it's not a competition that, we told them about 75, they all look gay. No, we're not achieving anything, because they are going to use that 75 in their speeches. And as they do so, they're going to come across the authors of whatever source that you're mentioning, and it will come back again. So that is why, if in my speeches, because I still don't trust where you get the figures from, I say more or less, to be politically correct. You know, more or less doesn't say it's 15 or 17, but it says it's somewhere around there. So I want to be very firm when I quote figures. EPWP figures are even the worst. And there we have even the statistician right running the office there. So we should have more figures that we could rely on. I don't know what happened to the CBE legislation. I didn't hear you mention it, or maybe we are packing it for 2013, because it's about transformation. I think it's quite crucial. I think that's it. But the other things will then mean that we go to EXCO and make sure that we get better reports that come to the portfolio committee. I think this report is much better than most of the reports that I have seen. So there is an improvement. And it's also because he can't undermine Parliament. That's Parliament that has sharpened him. He used to be heading the NCOP for quite some time. So it is for that reason that we felt we needed someone who understands how the rules of Parliament operate. So those are my few comments on the presentation. I think the presentation is taking us somewhere, even if it has those other areas that I've just mentioned that need to be attended to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable Members, let's engage. Honourable Mwanya Mabila. Mwanya Mabila will be followed by Honourable Tolo, Honourable Gayla, Honourable Madlala, and that's the print.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the report. And thank the Matisse, we call it, and the Minister for the briefing about the performance of the entity. Okay, I just want to start by commenting on the issue of this the institutional arrangement, on the issue of specifically the issue of the stress plan. I don't know whether when they indicate the stress plan, the annual performance plans are part of the stress plan, because we used to experience some difficulties, especially at the beginning of the year, where departments are coming with the threat plan. And a threat plan, according to my understanding, is a five-year plan. But it must be accompanied by the annual performance plan, which will assist us as a committee to know each and every year what is it that you are intending to do in line with your threat plan. So each and every time, you know, we find ourselves in the corner as the committee department presenting the strat plan each and every year, not presenting the annual performance plan, which makes it difficult for us to oversight, because each and every time we need to know what is it that you're going to do in the first quarter, what is it that you're going to do in the second quarter, so that when we pass the budget, we know very well what is it that we're passing, where is the budget going to work. But if there's no annual performance plan, then our work becomes very much difficult. Secondly, the issue of compliance, Chairperson. If you remember very well, I think we struggled at the beginning of the year to get the reports of the entities. We ended up meeting at the last day, I think it was 2 days before the budget vote of the department, of which is a worry if the entities, they don't comply, especially in the submission of these reports on time to Parliament, so that as a committee we are able to engage intensively, not rushing, because the budget vote is nearer, but we have enough time to engage on these plans of the department, so that again, when we pass the budget, we know very well what is the budget going, where is the budget going to work, what is it that we're supposed to monitor. So it's one of the concerns, the issue of the lack of compliance according to the PFMA and Treasury regulations, whereby these documents are being submitted late to the committee and makes our work very much difficult as a committee to engage thoroughly on the documents that have been submitted to us. I think we will improve in the 2012-2013. We'll make sure that the documents that you are mentioning here are being submitted on time so that we have enough time as a committee to deal with the documents. Chair, while the presentation was made, I thought the 536-572 is the available budget at the current moment, because when looking at this, the 2011-2012, that is the budget for the financial year. But when Mr. Matiki was presenting, he said the 536 is the total budget for the financial year 2011-2012. While when looking at the document, the budget is 647. I think I'm correct. Yes, 647,720. That is the annual budget. But the 536 is the current budget after we have some expenses. Then the current budget, or the outstanding balance, maybe in a layman's language, is the outstanding balance that we have. Because I just wanted to clear my understanding on that one. You indicated that CPE has to oversee some professional counselors, there are six. But do they have capacity, human-wise and financial-wise? Because you find that entities have got the mandate that they're supposed to execute. But if they don't have the capacity, they're not being assisted by the department, because the department, in other words, is the supervisor of all these entities, the manager. They must intervene if these entities have got some problems, you know, because all these entities are accountable to the department. But do they have financial and human capacity to make sure that they are able to execute their mandate? On the issue of the AG, while we're presenting on slide number 9, I want you to give us an assurance, as the minister has indicated. You know, if you are saying that all the issues raised by the internal and external auditors have been fully, you know, they fully addressed, it means that there will be no reoccurrence of the same matters. So as the committee, in other ways, we need to, if there are matters of emphasis, we need to expect new things maybe that will crop up rather than the issues that have been raised by the auditor general. You know, a language is a language. Because we'll target those matters. If they reoccur, then you have to account. Why? Because they've said they've been fully addressed. You know? So can you give this committee an assurance that all the matters raised in the AG's report, the matters of emphasis, will not occur again? Then the last one will be on this on the issue of these remaining schools at different levels. We don't know as a committee at which level, because as we're oversighting, we need to know whether maybe this school is at the foundation phase, this one is at the wall phase or roofing, so that when we track, when we monitor, next time you don't come again, you say the school, they are at a different level. Foundation. So that next time now we are at foundation, we need to know why it's not coming. But if it's different levels, just general, Chairperson, we need to know so that we track whether there's any progress. But now, now at the different levels, just as well as the foundation phase, then civil team. So those are the issues that we need to know so that at the end of the day, when we monitor, we know exactly what is it that we are monitoring. Then I think the other thing has been just indicated, has been covered by the minister when he was making the input. Thank you
when
very
she
much.
Was, when she, when, not me, when she.
sorry, she. Okay. Thank you, Maya Lavila. Honorable Scholar.
Thank you, Chairperson. So, one minute. I think most of my question has been asked by my comrades here. But Chair, it shows that in transformation, it shows that there is no improvement. Because if I remember on our last meeting, the indication of 6.4 for white are still the same. So what I want to find out from the department, what mechanism do they have or plan to improve this transformation? And the other one, Chair, is that one of grade 9. What I want to find out, how many blacks in grade 9? Because they are talking about 2 to 9 grades, but if they can give us some figures, how many for blacks on those grade 9? And the other one, Chair, is that one of school. If they can give us details of school that have been built in the Eastern Cape. Because they cannot just say they built so many schools. If they can give us how many schools, the name of those schools which have been constructed, so that we can oversight on what they are saying. Because we was in one of oversight, they show us that there's a bridge that was built. But when we went there, there was no bridge. So now we want some details on this one. And the last one, Care, is that one of job creation. This job creation is the calling from the president. But if you check here, the job creation is 3,873, which is already created. I care. It doesn't sound really. If they can give us some improvement on that one, and that's the one of special machine. If they say there's no accessibility on special machine, so what do we want to find? What are they doing to improve that? That one. Thank you.
Honorable Gayla. Special machines that you are talking about, can you clarify in the real special machines?
ACM, special material production capacity, does not appear to be geared for production higher value. Within the short period, fewer specialized machines.
Okay,
in the end of
alternative
yes.
Construction method, ne?
Yes.
Honorable Gayla, will be followed by Honorable Madlala,
okay.
And then Honorable Munguni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, you got it spot on in some of your comments. Let's go to, you spoke about dumping. Dumping is a cause, is a problem that your contestants remain in grade one. It's one of your major problems. But not only you're dumping nationally, provincially, also not by public works in the province, by education, health, and all that. And in your MINMEC, you have to take this up. because there's an education effort. Construction is public. And as long as you have those departments doing construction, those contractors will remain down there. They'll never move from there. Secondly, you spoke about CITP. I just want to add on CITP. You know, some of your CID policies need to be reviewed. Why do I say that? First of all, construction is not a business like shopkeepers. The shopkeeper, you know that somebody is going to buy groceries every year. Construction, you might get to work this year, you might not get work. Now, what do I mean? What I'm trying to say then, yeah, is that your contractors, even in the middle grade, the annual fees they pay, they cannot sustain it when they don't have work, especially the emerging sector. And then CITP has then got a policy that they must give audit reports, which they cannot. They don't have the money to do that. And then they are downgraded. That is where the problem is. Some of them are downgraded from grade 5 right to grade down because they haven't had any work. It is not their problem that they don't have work. So those are policies that we need to look at the CITP because there will be no growth in the emerging sector. Then your CPE, the last time we met with CPE, some of the professional bodies did not accept to be under CPE. I would like to know that address because there is no transformation with these professional sectors. And it's been there for years. There's just simply no transformation. And you've got a lot of these youth that got these architect certificates and all lingering in the villages, Minister. Some of them are employed by professional bodies and they paid next to nothing. You'd be surprised, some of them, the last time, but 2 years ago, some of them have been paid 800 rand. What can you do with 800 rand? So I'd like to see the new legislation, but there's a lot that needs to be addressed. There's quite a lot. Then your new method, what do you call it? Alternative construction method. I think the department has got it spot on there. This is not tried and tested. We don't know how, if it comes to maintenance, how do you maintain it, you know? Then secondly, it doesn't create any work, Minister. It just does not create any work. And most of, as a department, most of the is transported from Gauteng to Eastern Cape and so and so. So yes, you can use it on emergency, but I still think the brick and mortar is tested. And Minister, you've got thousands of contractors parking, just that they don't have the grades. I think you look at the brick and mortar and look at the ITP grading, because you can make use of those contractors. Some of them are not supposed to be in grade 1, but they did because of the legislation of the ITP. So I 100% agree with the department on this one. Definitely. This, we had the prefect, and when we had a prefect school built with prefects, we were told that they will last for a lifetime. And this is what these guys, when we met with them, they said there's nothing that lasts for a lifetime, Minister. There is nothing that does not get repaired. Now, my question is, how do you repair that? Where do you get the material to repair that? So I think you need to have an in-depth check it in depth. Then, I'll talk about the dumping. Oh, yes, I also agree with the saga that the municipalities, there's a major problem there, especially with the extended public works. So, one hopes that the new board at least will assist us in that regard. Thank you. It is all for now.
Thank you, Honorable Gayla. Honorable Makala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm covered by last speakers, especially on the CPE bill. Also, Minister mentioned that because we have been waiting for that bill, now they're not explaining anything about it. Instead, they're telling us about
the turnaround strategy. But my question is, one is on the IDT, on the wage incentive to non-state sector entities. What is the mechanism to monitor this non-state sector entities? Because some of them, they don't comply with the program implementation agency agreements. And the other one, that the major challenge is that investment funds are almost depleted, and there is therefore an agent need, I think, for the IDT to undergo a certain transformation on that. If they can clarify what mechanism they use to monitor these non-state sector entities. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Madlala. Honorable Ongoni.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I thought to my colleague Ngwenya Mabili will go into depth with the question of institutional arrangement. You know, where I'm sitting, I'm asking myself that if, with all the authorities that we have to engage with all these entities, now you find this report coming from the department. Of course, I understand that they are fully responsible in terms of them existing. But at the same time, when you do your constituency work, you come across areas where these entities are not doing their work. You are able to go and ask them direct. Now, the report that you have here surely comes from the department, which the entities tell the department, this is what we have done, this is what we are busy doing, and so on, which contradicts directly with what is happening on the ground. Example, your CIDB is not relevant to the material situation, on the ground in contractors. Chairperson, you will agree with me, when we're in Eastern Cape, where we had to, me and you, because we got that butterfly in us, thought that if these guys can say you don't go out here, there was no window there which we can jump out. Now, meaning that, what the presentation by the department is saying here, it is what the CIDB tells the department. But us, as people who are doing the work on the ground, it is not what we see. Therefore, institutional arrangement, my argument would be, is it the call of the department at this level to say the auditor's general report, finding of the previous financial year will not be happening this year? It cannot be your call, your honorable department. It is not your call. They are responsible, because Auditor General goes to them and do findings and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And they cannot say to the department that, no, we are going to correct that. They can say so, but what if they come and say, no, we could not do it? You will be coming to us here to tell us that, no, they say they could not do it, or it is not done. It is not your call. It is their call. They are responsible for their actions. Now, I'm worried that you must speak on their behalf. They must speak for themselves, because we want to hold them accountable. Even if you've got an act that governs their relationship, but they must speak for themselves. We've got problems with those people. Let me tell you, transformation, Minister, it's a pipe dream with this entity, especially CIDB. We have said on numerous times in this meeting that CIDB is used as a doorkeeper for our contractors to go to grade 2, 3, and 4 onwards. CIDB. We said last time that a contractor grade 4 and a contractor grade 3, they come to want to make a joint venture. You know, they are downgraded to grade 2. This one is 3, this one is 4. When they make joint venture, they have now become grade 2. They want to tender for a project of 6 million rand. They can't tender for the project of 6 million rand because this one is got 3, this one is got 4. And then what they thought that if they are together, it will be like 7 or 6. They can't do it because the laws in the CIDB says they must go down to grade 2. This, we fed it in front of them. We told them that we view CIDB as a reverse gear. It's not taking us forward. Now, you talk transformation in the CBE. I want to tell you, Minister, in the CBE, we go nowhere. The CEO of the ACSA, Engineering Council of South Africa, the chairperson who left, he said it very clear that we go nowhere because the very ACSA refuses to sign a memorandum of understanding with built environment. It refuses, flatly so, because it is earmarked for previously advantaged individuals. It is not there for the cause that we stood for and we said that we are going to stand for. Now, it's a problem. There will be no development in terms of getting newly engineers to get up in accredited to go and compete outside there. So basically, I would say that, Minister and the Chairperson, these entities, maybe because I'm new in this first parliament, my view is that they must be reviewed, all of them, both each by one, and say, actually, what were you registered for? What was your reason for you to exist? And then surely some of them will find a way of doing away with them. I'm telling you. We've got a problem. Your IDT, the CEO, is earning more than the president of this country. We ask this question, that how do we arrive at that salary? Once you get money via a grant, it's a grant, that the money that you give them. But they give themselves more than 60% of the budget that they get goes to the salary, meaning that it's only 40% or less goes to the capital project. So there is some point that we must arrive at, that we must go through these entities one by one and see their relevancy in the transformational program of this country and see whether are they there for this very cause or are they to take us back, reverse. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Nguni. Honorable Madropa will be followed by Honorable September.
November.
Honorable Nguni. You ready? Okay.
I want to hear. How could
thanks, Madam Chair. Greetings to our minister. And thank you for the presentation that we have received this morning, as well as the emphasis made by Minister. I think, Honorable Minister, what you have said is also our concern. And we appreciate that you have identified those gaps. That also really has been identified by the Portfolio Committee. I want to check on this particular report, looking at the transformation is a broad term. There is an indication around the issue of the expenditure that out of 40 million, 10 million has already been spent on the transformation. Maybe if we can just get a clarity, the areas of transformation where this expenditure is taking place, because the challenge that you're having as a portfolio committee is the challenge that the minister has identified, to see that really we are still having a challenge on the issue of the transformation and the acceptance.
also on the report, the under the challenges, it has been identified that a transformation on the built environment profession is still moving at a very slow, and there are statistics around that which shows that we are really not moving. We are really not transforming that particular area or sector. I want to check, Honorable Chair, what is the plan of the department to rectify this gap that has been identified? I'm saying this because also the minister have raised the important question to say the issue of the CPE bill, how far, where are we with it? Because I think it's what we all rely on as the solution that will assist us moving forward to transform these areas. If we can get the clarity from the department, because we can't just identify the problem and not come up with a plan to remedy the situation. And also around the issue of these alternative methods that are being used, one would like to check. It is important. I don't know how are we going to deal with this particular matter, because it's a matter of service delivery, fast-tracking service delivery at the same time, and job creation on the other hand. I think we will end up, we have to come up with a solution to say, what is it that we need? Is it service delivery first or what? Because I'm saying this, Honorable Chair, because we have been having those service delivery unrest in the whole country. But at the same time, how is this new alternative method going to affect our targets on job creation? Because already we have put our targets, and how are we going to balance the issue of service delivery as well as the job creation? Because I think, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, the issue of service delivery is key. But at the same time also, you know, as intervention to poverty intervention, we need those short jobs. And now there is a statistic indicating that one is equal to 100 days job if they are employed 100 days. But now when it comes to this alternative method, I think it takes about few weeks for people to be in the job. How are we going to balance those things? And I think it's a debate that we need to engage on, because at the same time, if we are saying that there are gaps around the issue of service delivery, I think the minister would want to fast-track service delivery. At the same time, maybe we must check how are we going to balance those particular areas. And also, Honorable Minister, I think also the issue of those professionals that we are having in the country, I agree with the colleagues that are saying that we must fast-track the intervention on them, because otherwise, after 17 years as a country, we are still looking at these statistics, these gaps for Africans, Asians, and then you see a big stake for other race groups. Really, it's unacceptable. Thanks, Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable November.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Minister. Good morning, all the colleagues. Mine is a very short one, Chairperson. It's just about all the Cs and all the, let's say, all the entities that we're working with or that are under the Department of Public Works. I'm sure it's the second time or the third time that I'm asking, where are their offices situated? Not only within the provinces, but within the regions, because I think the regions are nearer than the provinces, so that it should be very much easier for us also to go and check on some of these things. Because I'm sure when one is looking at some of the projects, let's say your housing projects, you look at the material sometimes that is being used, then inferior materials are being used to build houses for our poorer people. So if these offices can be just nearer, it will be very, it will help us very much, so that you can check on the people that are checking even the materials. Where are these offices situated nearby us?
Thank you.
It's just that short one, because really, inferior material is killing our people or is killing our government, because a house that has been built will be demolished and then another one will be built, whereby that money could have been used for something else. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable November. Honorable Minister, I'm happy that today you touched on the issue of EPWP. There was a workshop 2 months back organized by Appropriations Committee where the issue of EPWP model was raised. To say EPWP model was suggested by Treasury and it's not working. And we requested your department to go and meet with Treasury to look into a better way of making sure that EPWP works. We are still waiting for your department to come back to us and report on the new model, maybe, that will be suggested by the department. Treasury, for now, it's not working. Secondly, Minister, the workshop that we requested, that there should be a workshop. The department should organize a workshop with municipalities so that municipalities should understand what is EPWP. The third one is on the CIDP. We forwarded a memorandum from constructors to your department. The memorandum that we received in the Eastern Cape. We are still waiting for your department to respond and inform us how far are you in attending to the memorandum. Minister, this is the opportunity that we have got today. On climate change, the portfolio committee has never been informed about the steps that are taken by the Department of Public Works on climate change. We were told that the issue of energy is being attended to, greening, and we are still waiting, because last week Parliament was saying all the departments must give their reports on what they are doing on climate change, and it's not coming. The issue of figures, Minister, I'm also happy that you raised it. Whenever the department make a presentation, as figures are always not correct. And I'm happy that you raised it. To say it's a serious problem with the department that always the figures are not correct. Honorable Minister, on the Indaba conference, there's an indication in one of the slides here that they are still waiting for the council and the minister to approve the Indaba that should take place on the 30th of September 2011. It's in one of the it's in here. Another thing I just want to compliment Agreement South Africa on their service delivery, that they achieved their targets. To say, we need also to say, the job well done. They have met all their targets. And on the issue of page 19 on this one, trust partnership agreements entered into on leveraging of resources. Only one agreement entered two. So I just wanted to know to say, how many will you be entering for the second quarter, Minister? And then also the value of IDT budget in community development, which is 32 million. To say the remaining is around 800-900 million. Say, are you as a department going to meet your target, the spending target now? And also the minimum number of community facilities erected. In the first quarter, can we be informed about the facilities that you are referring to? Because you only said the community facilities. And that, are you going to meet your annual target? Also the 65 women contractors supported. What type of support are you giving to this 55 women contractors? There are 35,732 jobs created.
you only managed to create 3,872. Will you meet the target of 35,732? You indicated that the sustainable development, you implemented certain community-driven development projects. I just want to check in the second quarter, how many? Develop 13 local area plans, community-based plans. How many will you be developing in the second quarter? I think I'm done, Honorable Minister. Over to the department. And the drop minister on the 53,775 registered in March 2011, and there's a drop of 2. Can we be clarified on the drop? To say what caused those drops in the professionals?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members of the Committee. It's been quite a number of questions that they asked, and I just want to indicate from the outset that there are others that are very much detailed that would require further interaction between the department and the respective entities, just to ensure that we provide more reliable data to the members. And there are instances where members have made very positive comments, helpful in that they inform us, you know, how we should move forward with the entities with respect to presentation arrangement. And I think, honourable members, we do take the point that has been raised earlier on by members that there's a tendency not to meet the deadlines. It is something that, you know, on which the minister is working very hard, meeting with the entities to ensure that we respect the compliance requirements environment so people meet the deadlines. This is why we have a plan that ensures that if something is not submitted by a specific date, there are follow-ups and we deal with this more strongly with the entities. And I think we'll continue ensuring that that matter is being dealt with so that this can be respected as a matter of importance. There are a lot of other issues where we just need to go back and improve that directive, but I think there are instances where there are very clear questions that must be responded to. The questions that I think I'll handle, and I'll also ask the chairperson to allow me to indulge some of the team members that I've brought along here to deal with some of the questions that were raised here. With regards to the transformation, I think what we'll do, we will also provide, because there's also a question with regards to where exactly did we spend the amount of money. We will provide further information to the committee on where exactly, just so that we've got more reliable data in that regard. But if you look, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, on page 10 of the slides, there's been a question that has been raised by a lot of members here, which cuts across, really. Due to the issue of transformation, but most necessarily in the built environment profession. And I've also updated it on the screen at the moment. There's been a decline on the first slide. You've got the demographics at the end of March 2011. And it was April, May, June, the first quarter, as at end of June 2011. There's been a decrease on the 66.4%. On the next slide, the first slide says, you know, the green is white, that's 66.4. The next slide reflects a decrease by 1% plus, you know, of that same category, demographic. That, of course, that 1% has been inherited by a growth of blacks in that specific environment. You'd see that blacks in the previous financial year, in the last quarter, were at 20.2%. And in the first quarter of the current financial year, they are now at 21.4. It's an improvement, you know, of some sort of 1.2%. And then you see that also the same goes for the colored demographics, that in the previous financial year, the last quarter, fourth quarter, they were at 2.9. In the current financial year, by end of first quarter, they were at 3%, which is also an improvement of sorts. It's a very small improvement, really, but at least it's significant looking into the challenges in that specific environment. And similar increases have been experienced, particularly for the Indian Asians. 6.7 in the previous, you know, fourth quarter of the last financial year, and there's an improvement of 6.9 in the current financial, the first end of first quarter. The only bit line that we have is of the other day, which I think will break down now for members, because there are other smaller groups that are also represented in that total number. That has been a decrease. That decrease is actually very positive in the sense that it adds to the red, the yellow, and the green, which is where we need far more impact. So there's an improvement in the sense that it has shifted to the previous disadvantaged group. I must also be frank to members that, yes, even though there is that shift, it is insignificant because we need to be making far more better inroads in this environment. So that is the one matter that we are engaging, and it is all to ensure that that is improved, certainly. The issue of the BE professions, we will also provide further details, but I also ask my colleagues here to add on some of the issues that I will not be responding to honorable members. The context of the job creation that was raised by honorable members here and emphasized very strongly by honorable Madlopa, the context of the job creation and the balance that should be created between job creation and speedier methods of construction. Of course, I indicated during the presentation that because we're trying to ensure that we expedite the execution of some of this infrastructure. Unfortunately, on the other hand, once we create jobs, they're of a shorter term. Now, it means that because they're of a shorter term, we're not able to achieve the full-time equivalent, which is what we need in the EPLRP, because that helps to create jobs over a longer period of time, which then assists to ensure that we are able to claim that money from the incentive grant, you know, to grow and even create far more jobs. So I think certainly the necessity, but we're continuing to look into this, very critical to ensure that we strike some kind of a balance. But at the same time, because I know another member, we have also raised the issue that transportation and the fact that these are manufactured elsewhere. We also have indicated that point that it's a difficulty of the speciality of some of the materials that are being used on site. But we'll look into the matter because there are instances where we're saying there should be an opportunity for black people to produce some of the materials. It cannot be that all of them should be constructed and then assembled elsewhere. There should be an opportunity somewhere that maybe they're produced elsewhere, but in terms of assembling, you do them on site just so that we create more jobs. But as I'm saying, it's one of the elements of the balancing that we need to achieve as a department going forward, and working very hard on that element. The issue that was also raised on the members is the offices of some of the entities. I just wish to confirm to the meeting that with regard to the IDG, the IDG is represented in all the provinces at the moment. What we will provide members with a list of where exactly these offices are, and maybe with the addresses as well, and the contact numbers, and even of the personnel in those offices. I think that will definitely provide very soon, Honorable Chairman, if you allow us there. The CIDB is also represented in all the provinces. What has also happened further to that has been that there have been requirements, I mean, in fact, requests by individual provinces to ensure that we also have offices elsewhere in the provinces themselves, in the sense that you'll find that in a province you'll have an area like, for instance, the Eastern Cape, you have PE, where you've got a regional office. We'll have the CIDB office, but we are saying we should also have a CIDB office in Mthatha. You've got an area, because I mean your largest black contractors are in the Mthatha area. You've got areas like in Bloemfontein, where you have the CIDB office in Bloemfontein. But then you've got satellite offices in places like Kwakwa, because Togo is also about 400 kilometers or 380 from Bloemfontein. You also have another satellite office in Machabe or the Belgium area and Virginia area. And that is the case with a number of other provinces where we've said, given the fact that, generally speaking, the concentration of black contractors is in your formerly black, you know, townships, and most of which are not necessarily around your cities, we should be able to ensure that they can access the services speedily as well. And again, such services must also not just be conduits, we've said. They must also serve to provide a specific service that ensures that our people do not have to, you know, move forward and backwards all the time, going to that same office, and that office is talking to an office in Pretoria, which must then process. We're saying these offices must also be empowered such that they're able to process some of the information on site to be helpful to our communities. But honourable members, that's also an opportunity. If there are instances, and I know I'm saying this also on behalf of the minister here, if there are instances where there are areas that are excluded in terms of broadening the scope or access of some of the entities, we are very much open to recommendations that perhaps we should consider an opportunity at opening a hospital office in that area. Especially, you know, if it's based on the number of contractors that we have that need to be serviced. I think that opportunity can be explored. The CD and agreement, unfortunately, because of their specialist nature and their size of entities, our entity here has a budget of, if I could just indicate to honorable members, we as a department for the CD we contribute 27 million rand, 27 million rand. And you will see, if we look into, honorable members will see, if we look into the other graph, the next one, can we just go to the second page of the narrative, second page of the narrative report. Honorable members will notice that the first column details the contribution that is made by the General Public Works to the entities. So for the CBE, we contribute 27 million rand. And of that, we contribute a fraction in that you've got 29.7 million rand. That's the total of their finances for the financial year. And for the other entity, CIDB, the department contributes 65.9 million rand, about 66 million rand that we contribute in the current financial year. And of course, because of the other amounts of money that are there, they then add up to 109. And the biggest becomes the Independent Development Trust, to which we contribute per annum about 150 million rand, which we've done in the current financial year. And the residual, of course, is of some of their resources. That adds up to 498 million rand. And then AGRIMA, members will also notice that the amount is very little in that, you know, they depend largely on what we contribute. There is nothing else that they get wherever. So we contribute 9.4 million rand per annum for them, which we've done already, and there's no other contribution other than the contribution that is made by the department. So because of their size and because of the specialist nature of their business, it comes a bit of a challenge to try and ensure that there's representation all over the country. And to honorable chairperson, if you allow me, I'll go to the issue of the, also pick up on the issue that I'm maybe jumping in so that you can address them as we move on. The 55 women training by the IDT. Honorable members, speaking especially on, for instance, in the construction industry, one of the issues that is identified is that, because of the nature of the industry and the industry being exclusively male in the past and very wide and largely considered among the five big companies in the country, that there was a challenge that where you want black people to get involved in the industry, there needed to be some training just so that you ensure that they participate and they stay on. In the construction industry. Because quite often, people come in the industry, they're hoping that they'll make money quickly and it takes longer, and some of them opt out. You know, so we are trying to ensure people stay. So we're training both male and female, but here, we are focused mainly on female contractors. And the training that we provide to them is technically made in that it focuses more on the financials, so that they're able to draw a line or differentiate between profits and cash and their cash flow. Because quite often what happens is that a contractor receives money for work performed, and what they do, they take that as their cash, completely all of it. They do not have termination for salaries, for equipment purchases, etc. They do not have that. And you find that most of them then go under and under and so on. So instead, one of the important aspects would be to focus on training them on financial management. And again, the other thing that we provide is on project management. Because quite often people do not realize that construction, every aspect, I mean, this is what we do really in our lives. So when you plan to purchase something in a financial year, you plan such that they're able to save. You know that you want to purchase the car, so the car will require about 10,000 rand, you know, deposit, and you save. Now what this happened was that you find people do not treat projects as projects, you know. They do not have, you know, milestones, ensure that I do this at this point, at that point, have got this other milestone to achieve and cost it appropriately, and also ensure that they staff it appropriately and in terms of material as well. You know, there's proper allocations financially. So I'm saying they also need to be to be empowered in that regard, to enable in a situation where they're able to stay on and not, you know, be terminated. Because quite often one of the things that has characterized black contractors has been placing them in mora and terminating their contracts before completion of the contract, which has also contributed immensely in their demise. And I think that's one of the areas I need to focus on going forward. The other skill that we've been providing is also the management of their human capital. Because quite often people needed to also be, you know, to acquire skills with regard to how do they retain specialist skills in their construction environment. You find that they've got, I mean, in most instances, I'll also make an example, which is one of the things that we've discovered in the industry, where you find, you know, people want to bid for a specific, you know, a tender, and they all go for one quantity surveyor. So the quantity surveyor does the bills of quantities for them. And it so happens that sometimes most of the quantity surveyors are white. And then remember, they're doing bills of quantities for about five different companies. And what happens? Quite often you'll find there is a lopsided, you know, price. There's lopsided pricing, which tends to prejudice your smaller construction entrepreneurs. You know, so we say this is one. These are some of the areas where you need to make intervention to make sure that people have retention strategies in their companies that ensure that specific specialist skills that are very key to the execution of their work are retained. So this is where again we are providing that kind of skill. But there are a few other areas, members, that I could enumerate on, but I think you know, we can provide further detail to the Honourable Committee. The issue of the EPWP incentive model. Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much also for this point. We did have that opportunity of having a joint intercourse between the two committees at Parliament and also the Treasury and ourselves as Public Works, where this issue of the model was discussed, and we were robust about it, I think, and all of us, and we were given a clear mandate as officials of what exactly to do. What we've still done, we've had interactions with Treasury on the model, because we are saying, unfortunately, the money tends to remain with Treasury, and we need to claim based on reports from municipalities, from provinces, and also national. And when we claim, you find that whenever there is under expenditure, it reflects on the financials of the Department of Public Works and not on Treasury. And that's also challenge number one. But two, that there is no sufficient claiming from the incentive grant, reflecting the fact that there could be under-reporting, or there could be challenges at data capturing, or there could be challenges with regard to breaking our work into, I mean, more and more labor-intensive pieces, just to ensure that there's far more access, far more jobs that are created. And we said, based on that, the model becomes a bit of a challenge. And I think that was also a rather matter and said we should deal with this. We've had interactions, and we should be able, in a very short period of time, to provide feedback to honorable members on the kind of progress that has been made to review that, because in every moment it remains a grant. There was an issue raised with regards to the non-state sector. How do you monitor that? At the moment, I think honorable members, I would not want to mislead the committee by providing information offhand. I would prefer, Chairperson, if you allow us here to provide that information later. But that, of course, at the moment, the entire performance with regard to non-state sector has been given to the IDT to manage and to supervise for us and to do monitoring. We have monitoring on our side that monitors the extent to which they meet the targets that we have set and the extent to which the work opportunities are created are labor-intensive or as labor-intensive as possible. Also, we ensure that we are available on professional teams to go and ensure that they meet the requirements, particularly the principles of the EPWP in delivering on the job creation. But I would like very kindly, Chairperson, to persuade the committee to allow us to follow the information later, a breakdown of what happens in the monitoring that takes place there. The figures, honorable members, we noted the point, we take it very seriously, the minister has also been robust in certainly, emphasizing the importance of ensuring that the figures are far more reliable. And I think we will continue to improve in that regard. If it's a serious point that actually causes problems, and it shows lack of watering or perhaps lack of strategic management at that point. These are areas that we need to continue to improve going forward as the department. The other issues, Chairperson, that I'll deal with quickly is the opportunities that were raised also by I went to the wrong page. The budget, Honourable Member, as was indicated, I think maybe I could just reflect that quickly just so that there's better clarity on them. Yes, you are correct, Honourable Member. The total amount for the current financial year for the four entities is 647 million rand. 647.7 million rand. Spent to date is 536. To date. You know, for the first quarter. But let me not say today, let me say at end of first quarter. At end of first quarter. So it means that the figures could have changed by now. The other spike here, because the amounts have shot up, is simply because there are amounts that must be paid at registration or some of the entities and so on. So that just goes in very quickly. And it stays like that for the entire financial year. There was an issue of transformation that I raised that I spoke about when I started to respond to honorable members. The minister has also raised that issue of transformation. I'm aware that there have been interactions with the minister and some of the leaders in the council. And as I said earlier, the minister has had an opportunity to interact closely with ECFA. And the minister has raised very strongly the issue of their transformation. And we've been, and they presented to the minister a picture that is intending to change that going forward. We are convinced, based on what they presented, the minister's convinced that we will monitor as a department to ensure that they achieve that. They've got a commitment to improving the numbers on their side, particularly towards transformation. And it's something that we will be looking very closely at to ensure that it's achieved, as promised. The issue of CBE and overseeing 600 honorable members, we can promise that we'll go back and look into the issue of their capacity but I think because of the technical nature, it does not pose much of a challenge as well, but we'll look into that and we'll report back to the honorable members. And the issue of the CBE with regard to the AG and the fact that matters have been emphasized in the previous report, it was promised that they will not recur in the current financial year. We will also ask the department monitor that very closely to ensure that there is no, there are no problems in that area and they do not go back to the previous environment of emphasis of matter. But they improve their books and improve their accountability to the AEG in terms of the finances. We will also provide a lot of numbers with a list of the schools that are dealing with. As I said earlier on, 11 schools and 2 in the Eastern Cape. We will provide a more detailed report. Yes, I can confirm here that 2 schools have been opened by the Honourable Minister, that the others are still in construction. But we will provide a detailed, a comprehensive list that I will outline the province, the project name, start end date. We'll also provide the budget. We'll provide the progress to date. We'll also provide some comments in instances where perhaps there could be challenges for supply of material. Just so that there's an accommodation for that, and we can comment to ensure that our honourable members are aware of what the challenges could be in that area. The grades, honourable members asked a question about how many blacks specifically. We will also provide a breakdown. The only thing that I can indicate from the outset is that, generally speaking, your black construction entrepreneurs are at the very lowest. The biggest numbers, and they're in thousands, are between grade 11 and grade 1 and grade 4, but with the biggest being between grade 1 and grade 3. And as we go up grade 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, my word, it becomes becomes serious, becomes far more challenging. 9 is even worse. You can count maybe 1 or 2 black people, I think, if they are there, they are still there. Because that's one of the members also indicated earlier on, that there is an indication, thanks, Honourable, that there's an indication that there's downgrading of the contractors. And Honourable Member, we will, Chairperson, look into this matter. The challenge becomes the you are in that grade for as long as you receive work for over a specific period of time. And if you do not, there's an annual review of your grading that results in most instances where you've not been able to get work in that financial year and you've been downgraded. It could also be the other way around, in instances where you've been able to get work. But I think we'll go back and look into this environment and see how else can we assist and ensure that we don't downgrade as quickly as we do. First, we need to extend the period. Instead of it being 1 year, it could be 2 years. And there should also be other elements of it that we do that could assist to ensure that people remain. But the other challenge becomes you have instances, I mean, we use the amount, the total amount of the project to assess a contractor. There are instances where a contractor will then submit and then they outsource a specific part of the work. You know, we look into their balances in the bank and we say the project was 40 million rand and assessed on based on 40 million rand. If of the 40 million rand into their bank account went about 10 million rand, assessed on based on 10 million rand. So you see the social side way of creating them. Which you know, which is informed by the financials. We also try, you know, using that, we're trying to avoid black contractors being used as labor brokers. Because there are instances where sometimes you find, a white contractor subcontracts just so that they are able to meet the administrative requirements in terms of equity. And what they do, the work share that goes to a black person is in terms of employment of black people. Are there with regards to bricklaying, you know, those simple masonry. You know, maybe carpentry or even plastering. You know, small, very manual work. And then you find that the largest portion of the work then is taken by the white contractor. So when you grade the black contractor, what then will happen is you'll grade them based on the amount of money that was in their account. And sometimes you'll find it was only just for labor broke. They were abused that way. So we're trying to also make an intervention as we started to ensure that that's not recast going forward. The other issues are political in nature, and I think I'll leave them to the Honourable Minister. The issue of the salary, IDT, and further issues, you know, I'll leave them to the Honourable Minister to assist us there. I think I have Honourable Members, if I've missed one or two
points. Can I make a follow-up?
Thank you, Shabbos.
Can I make a follow-up where you indicated that you approached IDT to monitor on some of the projects? My problem is, can IDT monitor on projects that are not their own projects? I'm raising this thing because in the ATC of the 11th of August, there's a report by Human Settlement where IDT was given advance payment for the toilets, and those toilets are not completed. It's in this ATC of the 11th of August. To say how can they monitor other projects? Meanwhile, they can't complete the projects themselves. To say, do you have really confidence in them that they are going to do proper monitoring? Meanwhile, they themselves, they want to be monitored because they are not completing projects that are given, Minister. It's in this. They have been given 19 million, if I'm not mistaken, to build toilets. That was advance payment, and the toilets are not complete. And the committee is busy dealing with the problem of IDT. Honorable Madloka will be followed by Honorable Gaila and Honorable Mgun. Ready, Vector. So Minister will also want to be given a slot.
Thanks for the responses from the officials. I imagine, Honorable Chair, that one has got a degree, and because you don't get a job, you are degraded. They are saying you are now a matric. That is what is happening on the contractors. To say if you don't get a job, you are degraded. Really something that we really need to look at and really try and do away with. But I'm not that sure. I wanted to check. We once get a presentation that was talking about the young professionals. I know that the Honourable Minister is passionate about the young professionals, has tried even to make a call. We're giving a report that was saying that there were young professionals, in particular in engineering, that did their training, but only to find that the institutions where they were not accredited. And it was said that by 2014, those institutions will be accredited. And this pool of people that were trained, young professionals that were trained, cannot be admitted to the professional. I want to check, Honourable Chair, to say what is the plan around those particular young people. I imagine as a parent, begging, struggling to send my child to school with the hope that when she or finishes at the high institution of learning, maybe will change the life of the family, only to find that it's like useless because you were in the institution that was not accredited. I want to check maybe also, Honourable Minister, if the department can have the statistics of those young people affected, because we're told that they are not catered for. The provision is only for those that will be coming now in the field to those particular institutions that will be accredited by 2012. But those that were in between that, they are nowhere, you know. Maybe something that needs to be done around that. I know, Honourable Minister, you are passionate about those young professionals.
Thank you, Honourable Madopa. I don't know if the Minister would like to order this from Honourable Kayla.
There are two issues here. The first one, CBE, the growth. Now, Minister, I don't want us to be happy about that group. When we went to CBE offices, the chairperson who was sitting there was there, Honourable November was there. The association within the CBE, the Architect Association, said they had a problem, that their members did not want to transform. So we need to check where does this growth come from. Is it a growth from the quantity surveyors? Because the quantity surveyors is not a problem. We need a growth in all those associations. So if we can get a breakdown of that growth. Secondly, your tool, the tool that is used by CIT Minister is destroying our people. And the official just answered that now. You cannot use a tool of checking the bank balance of black contractors. Because those people, some of them come from villages. Those people are assisted either by the ECGC or the borrow money. They have nothing in their bank account. You cannot use that tool at all. It's totally, there's a problem, Minister. And we need a policy to change this. This is a policy matter. Those people never move from their... They got nothing in their bank. They start with nothing. They put a zero in their bank account. So you cannot use that tool for the growth of our emerging contractors. What I would suggest, Minister, is maybe you look at having a summit, getting the block contractors there, and yeah, what do they? Where is their problem? Because if you see, you'll hear the problem. That is what might maybe assist you in here. But CIDP is destroying them. When we were in the Eastern Cape, Chairperson, some of them made a follow-up by staying in the Eastern Cape. Some of them came to me and said, we want to know how far you are because we gave you your last chances. We're staying with these people here. These are our people. They have a problem. Some of them have been paid for the last 6 months. How long do you use a tool of a bank balance? And least I can give you proof that some of them have been paid by the department in Eastern Cape for months, some for years. So definitely this is a policy maker with the CIDP. Then the previous board, I don't know the new one, the previous board, the established sector was presented, somebody in the, but the emerging sector had nobody in the board. So then, how do you say that, a cat in Kosa, a cat in my parting book, it couldn't tell the rest. That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. So, really, this is a policy matter, Minister. Let's not play with our people. We're playing with our people. Yeah, this is a policy matter. There's a problem with CIDP. That is the bottom line. Let's agree on that there is a problem. We need to change the policy of CIDP. That is the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gayla. Honorable Mugune?
Yeah, mine is short. You remember when the CIDP was in this August House, we raised this question of how do you do creating. They refused that they use the bank balance statement. They refused it, flatly so. You know, the manner in which they use professional response to the question raised direct, it's a problem. Because you've got now the department saying that, no, we also use the bank balance to say that this is what went into our account. But he refused in that the quota to say, no, we don't use that. You know, they reported to the department that this is what we use to upgrade or grade our contractors. But here, they come and say they don't use that.
If you remember, we made a request to the department that we would like to meet with the department and CIDP, sit in the same boardroom so that we can address some of these issues. We are still waiting for the department to come back to us. They haven't. The meeting is still standing that the department, CIDP, and us must meet to discuss some of these issues, Minister.
Can you please wanted us maybe to give the policy person an opportunity just to mention what's happening around the CITP and the CDE quickly?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister. Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Minister. Morning, members of the portfolio committee. The CITB, we're aware of a number of challenges that are being faced within the CITB, particularly within the emerging sector. For the last 18 months or so, we've actually established at the national level a committee in which we've been engaging the emerging sector to address some of their concerns. Now, the important thing that we must remember is CITB has two key roles. The first is transforming the construction sector. And that's where we've identified a few areas for improvement. Now, when you look at developing contractors, it's particularly through programs and best practice, etc., etc. And we've identified several gaps in the implementation of this. Now, over the last year, just over 12 months, we've elevated contractor development outside of CIDB, and we are now coordinating it from within the department. It's the National Contractor Development Program. So we've taken over the management of this from a national perspective. We've established a steering committee to drive contractor development. Over the last 4 months, we've put in clear steps for the implementation of contractor development. And I think within the next 6 months, we should see some benefits of that. One of the things is that we've asked for the escalation as well as the rollout of contractor development across all 9 provinces. We're hoping that within the next 6 months, we'll have a substantial figure. Within the department itself, we're targeting in the next 2 years, 500 contractors just within the department's program itself. Now that is part of the contractor development. The second issue that's been raised consistently is the issue of the register. Now, the register is not really a developmental tool per se for contractor development. It's a risk mitigating tool. Now, let me just use a mundane example. We do know in grade 1 and grade 2, there's plus minus around 200,000 contractors in those grades. Now, what happens is anyone everyone can register a construction company. Then there's no requirement for that particular company to register in CIDB. So as long as you have a CC, you can register it at CIDB. It doesn't mean you have a construction name. So what you find is grades 1 and grades 2 actually bulked up by that. And you then find that in grades 3, 4, 5, the numbers get lower. But I think and I tend to be corrected, I think up to grade 6 we have up to about 65% of the companies registered in grade 6 is black companies. It's when we get to 7, 8, and 9 that we have a substantial problem. There's just almost no transformation. We know we have some companies on 7. I think there's 2 companies on 8, and I haven't seen any companies recently on grade 9. What we've done is in fact, we're meeting next week with contractors to say, what do we do now to push up the contractors? Because you need a 3 to go to 4, to go to 5, to go to 6, and then move up. Because it's the experience that you develop and the ability to deliver. Now, in the register, the main criteria that are used to determine your grading in the register is your turnover. I think it's a turnover for 2 years. It's your working capital, and it's your largest project over a period. I think it's 2 years as well. Now, what you find, why we require that is, if the department puts out a tender for 40 million rand, we need to have, and not just the department, government, because it's a risk mitigating tool for government. We need to have some level of certainty that contractor is going to be able to deliver on that contract. So when you look at 40 million rand, I think you're looking at grade 6. We need to know you have a particular turnover so that you can initiate the project until your first tranche for the project, so then you're able to continue on the project. It's quite scientific in which this was done, but within the system, we do identify problems. And we've engaged CIDB at some point to see how best to address some of these concerns. Now one of the issues we figured out is instead of looking at a turnover for 2 years, we look at other criteria. Now I'm aware that CIDB has done some work on this. We have, as the department, have not yet seen it, but we've put forward our position on this, and I'm hoping that as this comes through, we'll be able to address some of the big concerns that has come through from the emerging sector. The problem that will persist, though, is grades 1 and grades 2. Is that will always be bulked up. And that's the some of the thinking in the industry is that we need to find some other way in which to do the register so that people that are on the register have extensive experience in construction. Now, that's the debate that they're engaging in. They have not yet engaged the department on that. But at times, this is a plan going forward. We'll continue to engage with them in terms of the mitigation and those factors. I think, Minister, those may come to you soon, and then we can engage with that as a department. But I just wanted to clear the area of the contractor development as the risk mitigation tool. I'm sure you can appreciate that if someone registers a company tomorrow and they put forward a tender for 40 million rand, they may not have the capital to deliver on the project. So therefore, you have the register issue, and yeah, hopefully within the next few months we'll be able to address that.
Thank you. Oh,
yeah. The CBE bill, I think, just very quickly, is the policy position advanced by the department, and I think this is a very similar policy position we pushed forward in 2008. Minister approved for us to renegotiate. Now we must remember that the previous minister had withdrawn the bill, so essentially we are coming back. We have to restart the entire process again. That means reintroduce a policy document. We cannot reintroduce a bill. So we reintroduced the policy documents, which ministers approved the policy positions. We've engaged extensively over a period of 6 weeks with the built environment profession. And we've now reached a point where we are now beginning to redraft a new policy. Well, not a new policy, we're tinkering with the old policy, but including the comments that we received. And once we have finalized the document, hopefully in the next two to three weeks, we will then submit for ministers consideration, and then we can then take the process forward from there. And then once the policy is processed, then we can start moving towards the goal. But right now we're still at the policy stage, and it's essential that we get that correct. And I think the policy position has not really shifted that much, but it's just trying to tighten things up from where we are. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you. That is
thank you again, Honourable Chairperson. Just one point. The issue of monitoring, maybe just clarify it further. The Honourable Chairperson, they're not going to do monitoring on behalf of the government. They've got their own monitoring. But I'm saying, as a government, we also have our own monitoring in the interior that monitors the extent to which they meet principles of the HRRP in carrying out job creation in the non-state sector. So I think the Chairman's point is that the sector we need to strengthen that, to monitor them more. So I think that we will do definitely, because that is just an implementing agent for us on the non-state sector. So we give them budget to implement on our behalf, but we monitor their own performance on that point. Thank you, Chairperson. And I think, as I indicated, Chairperson, there are a number of issues that I will not handle because they are political in nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Minister.
I just want to mention that Mr. Matisse and his team were surprised to see me here this morning. That's why I had to start by clarifying to some people who may not understand that I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. It's just that given the workload, they're not expected to be there all the time, that when time permits, you have to be there. My very first question to them was, where are the entities? Because I hate incomplete meetings where certain answers cannot be given because they're seated somewhere else where we could have actually, now we're going to have an extra meeting, which is costly, which is unnecessary because they would have been here to answer for themselves. So I think that even if they are implementing agents on our behalf, we don't run their day-to-day activities, they would have been better placed to come and answer some of the questions that are actually supposed to be answered by themselves. On the issue of the model of the EPWP, I started the political discussion with the Minister of Finance. And we're at a point where the Accountant General was supposed to have a meeting with EXCO of Public Works. And we can follow up that meeting on a number of issues, EPWP, and also the fact that our report will be known very soon. And we don't have to promise people that it's a nice report that is about to come. It's not good. And we need to find out where is it that we're doing wrongly. I've had a number of meetings with the Auditor General. I also have a meeting in the next 45 minutes with the Auditor General on video conferences, so I don't have to go to Pretoria, because there's technology that I always love, and unfortunately, it has taken me 17 years to appetize the members of Parliament on that, how it makes life so easy for people. Because even if now we were on video conferences, all the answers that you need from CIDB, CBE, we're just going to call them to just bring that information. Honourable members would need that information. So, but I think as time goes on, we will manage to do that. And I'll also tell you that I have looked at, which is non-related, but in a way related, because you are responsible for how we use the money of the state. When I joined Public Works, I saw every Monday afternoon, officials are starting to move towards the airport, right? Because they all have to be in Cape Town every Tuesday. Even if it is only two people who are going to make presentations, you have 11 people. Now we have to put them in five-star hotels. It might sound like a small thing, but when you add those five hotel expenditures over a month, it's a lot of money. We put them in five-star hotels. They're not productive in the department. They're not productive in the portfolio committee. And they have to fly first class, right? And they come, then, of course, the meeting goes up until this time. If you're fortunate, then they take the afternoon flights back. Or if you're not, then they go on Wednesday back. So they're not even productive on Wednesday. For Monday, they're half-day productive. Tuesday, they're not productive at all. Wednesday, they're half-day productive. And then the Thursday, that is a full day. And there's this general thing in government that Friday is a half-day. I don't know where it comes from. But we're going to fight that thing, that Friday is not a half-day, because we pay people full-time. Unless we agree with officials that let us pay half-day, so that by 1 o'clock everybody says, bye, we know that they're not costing us anything. And it used to happen here in Parliament, by the way. And I remember I said to the Speaker, Madam Speaker, I'm going to change this. All meetings of the Speaker and the presiding officers were only after 3 o'clock on a Friday. So people stayed anyway for those meetings because
the meetings have to form a quorum and so on and so forth. Those are meetings which we're dealing with quite a number of things. Thank you for allowing me to divert a little bit. I'm really working on the young professionals. We have just signed up 100 of them in a week's time in the Msinga area in KZN. Those of you who come from KZN will get that good story. We asked the deputy speaker to deputy minister to go and clinch that deal. And the premier of KZN was there. It was a wonderful event where we took 100 school children and were placing them in the built environment special universities and so on. And we have also committed at Msinga that we are discussing with the Minister of Higher Education that need for an FET there. Most of matriculants have nothing to do and they have nowhere to go, especially because of the poverty. The workshop with municipalities is urgent. I think it's something that we need to prioritize for EXCO. I would like to see in the next 2 weeks, I know that SALGA is at a conference in Durban now, but when they come back, just make sure that we have a meeting with them and make sure that we try by all means to use every little cent that is there for EPWP. In that meeting, we will be with Treasury so that we are actually able to look at the model itself. Climate change. As a country, we have never been so economic with information. You know, climate change is less than 100 days from now. There's no buzz anywhere. You don't hear people, it's only when people are in small meetings like this one when we find them talking about it. We hosted the World Summit on Sustainable Development. 6 months before it, or a year before it, women were talking about it, people were talking about it. Now, you'd remember, Honourable Member, 1.5 months ago, I met you at a portfolio committee in the Max Story, where we took a decision with this official that Parliament, they are going to introduce retrofit here. 1.5 months ago, COO, it's still not happening. We must green all the state departments, the state buildings, before people land in South Africa. And we have less than 100 days. How you're going to do it, I don't know, but it has to be done. Why we said you should pilot with Parliament is because all the leaders of the country are here. They will all understand that here is a bill of Parliament for the past whatever years, and this is how we are reducing it. With state buildings only, we can take a lot of the load that ESCOM has. But there's nothing, Honourable Members, as frustrating as being in government after you've been in Parliament. Now you understand why people are taking forever. All the things, most of the things that you're talking about, we've been, ever since we came into this department, we've been talking about. So, COO, I know that you are a person who is driven by action and a number of things. Let us see something happening. At least, let us have a positive story. There's quite a lot of green projects that they talk about, but whether that is happening or not, I'm not too sure. And if you could send a document that just says where our green projects are and how we are doing it. We've spoken about the figures, and they were told that the figures will improve. I don't know anything about the Indaba conference. I wish somebody briefs me thereafter. The communication system in departments, and I thought it's public work, it's all over. It takes forever. We run government through things called submissions. It moves from this person to that. By the time it comes to the minister, it's 3 months old in the pipeline. So we have said that for public works, which is an orange department, there must be orange files that in the pile, once there's an orange file, it says this one is urgent. It can't wait. So I don't know whether we managed to patch it, but I don't want you to laugh at the officials. But it took them 3 months to find an orange file. Now, I go to town in Pretoria every time and I see orange files at the CNA. But I don't want them to say that I'm micromanaging them, because I wanted to buy them and say, here they are. I don't know where you go, but maybe you're not looking at the same place. Because it's also frustrating them to say, everything you hear, it's on the minister's desk. The minister's desk is very clean. Anything that comes on my desk is dealt with that time. If I can't, I take a huge bag from this lady who has given me tea here. It's called my overnight bag, so that I make sure that I don't keep officials waiting for my signature. So when you hear something that is on the minister's desk, send me an email. Send me an email so that I can help you find it, because it's not on my desk. I don't keep things on desk because these are related to service delivery. The more I take time to sign, I am stopping a certain village from having something that is supposed to be coming their way. So that language is language that we need to make sure that we deal with. We will pass the good weight from your side, Madam Chairperson, about Agrima. They've got a tiny little budget of 10 million, but you can always be proud of them wherever you go, because they always do what they're supposed to do. And in fact, they are a little bit angry with us. They want to go to science and technology, because simply speaking, that's where they belong. But our problem is that once they move and get into an environment where there are many more scientists, there won't be that focus on the built environment as we have it at the moment. So I think as we listen to their business plan and their case, we think that we can still be able to work with them. On the issue of the Black Contractor Summit, I know that the Deputy Minister has started some work in this regard. She has been to two provinces, the Northwest and which other provinces is it? Cape, it's in Northern Cape. Yes, Northern Cape. So we can just look at what comes out of, because there are two reports that she has sent. We can just make sure that honorable members look at those reports. And as we go towards the other seven provinces, we can use what came out of those meetings. The Mafikeng meeting was a very powerful meeting, I remember, where she went. And we have a request that we got from the chairperson at the beginning of the meeting, that let us try to be as honest as possible. We have this campaign, Rea Badala, which says that if we're able to pay our service providers within 15 days or 14 days, I see the slide is talking about 14 days, we should do so. But later on in our presentation, we're talking about people who have been waiting for 6 months up to a year without having been paid. Now, we need also to review Rea Badala, whether it is really working or not. Because it looks very good to you, you know, in your political speech that this is what we have. I remember when I told the president that you're asking for 30 days, at public works we're doing 14 days. He looked at me. He says, is it real or is it what you have been told? I said, well, honestly, Mr. President, that's what I've been told. He says, no. These officials, just make sure that you check and double check what they say. I would be happy if I can get feedback from the South Africans saying that at public works were paid within 10 days. Then we have that yardstick that is giving us information. So where it is possible for us to pay, let us pay people urgently, as you have heard, that the honorable members are saying, it is not the established businesses that you are actually affecting. They have money elsewhere that they can take to fix something else. It is the very people whose lives you want to change. The black suffering masses of this country will forever not make it because of some of us not adhering to what we're supposed to do. We will follow the MOU with the built environment, which the professionals do not want to get into, and see what the problems are there. When I inherited a unit in public work, or unit of professionals, which for one reason or the other, our officials were not using. And I don't think it has anything to do with whether people are white or black. But we did not want the professional advice. Because the professional advice would be to say to you, don't build here, the soil is not good. Now, as a layperson, you don't have that information. That is why we have the need of professionals in at Public Works. I called them, they were about 40-something or 50, and I asked them, what do you do from 8 to 5? They say, the meaningful work that we want to do, we're not allowed to do that. So we come in, we try to fit in any everywhere, and then by luck, it's 4 o'clock again, we take our bags and go. These are the people who are in charge of the drawings, the initial phases of our buildings, the... What do you call it? What is the language, by the way? The design phase and all that. They were in charge of that. They were saying to me, ma'am, the equipment that we used to use is still here, it's collecting dust. Because your officials prefer to use a third party, and we're adults, we know why. They prefer to use someone outside who will quote anything, and they don't want to verify it with these people who are professionals. When I removed from the media the story that the president's house is going to be refurbished using 150 meters, I said, journalists, just wait a bit, let me just check. To me, as a layperson who has never built anything, it doesn't sound right. It sounds like you are building a Disneyland or something. Even Michael Jackson, with his lot of money, would not be spending that kind of money on you know. But there was something crazy about the figures. And then I went back to check with the professionals. And they said, ma'am, we think that we can be able to do, this work can be done with less than 15 million. All of it. Now, how do you move from 135 million to 15 million? Something is wrong somewhere. And portfolio committee members, help us to fight that thing. And even the public protector was talking about it yesterday. He was yesterday or the day before. Says, if you sell this bottle to anybody, you can get it for 5 rand. But if you sell it to government, it's 25 rand, then there's nothing wrong about it. Why? Why are we allowing those kind of things to happen? I asked somebody to come and fix something at my house. And then this guy comes. I don't know how well, of course, maybe the police and so on. They saw, or they ended up knowing that this person is doing this kind of work. So he says to me, are you going to pay for this, ma'am, or is it the department? I said, why is it your business? You want us to fix it and give me a quotation. He says, no. If it is you, personally, it becomes a different quotation. Telling me in the face. But if it's a department for the same work, it has to be different. We cannot allow that. I said, gentlemen, thank you very much. Go away from my house. But thank you for informing me that you have 2 invoices for everything. A number of... I was talking to the property... charter meeting the other day in Johannesburg. That also a friend of mine picked up that story and told me, and I went to the shop. Nice furniture, reserved for public works. So she asked, why is it reserved? She said, no, we fetch good money if it is public works buying. Now, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, whether some of you have other countries to live in. Some of us are stuck. We are South Africans and we have no other country. When things dry up here, we also dry up. We can't go to Australia or the UK or whatever. We don't have that luxury. We're born and bred and what we stay here. And when you address some of these things, you become the most unpopular person. I have stopped the purchase of furniture at Public Works. Not that there won't be time when it is pressing to get a chair or something. But I know that I'm costing a lot of work for myself, but I said, for any furniture, in the meantime, get ministerial approval. The strange thing is that I thought I would be going home with heaps and heaps of applications. In as far as furniture is concerned, I'm not going home with anything. Why do I issue a statement and suddenly there's no need for furniture? I don't know. We are saying, let's talk to correctional services. Let us kill as many inmates as possible to do the furniture and everything. By the time they go out, they don't want to go back anymore because they've got skills. And we can get it very cheaply, you know, not what is happening at the moment. But those are some of the things that you need to help me with. I've got a difficult job, and someone has to do it. And if I have a strong portfolio committee, all members from different political parties assisting, we can win this battle. It's not a difficult thing. It's something that is winnable. I think those... I wanted to say that in the Free State, we started with paving of access roads. A lot of work has been created there, both from making the bricks and making sure that people who live around that along that street that could not access the roads, especially when it rains and so on, they are the ones who work in those the townships and so on. The only problem is that our bricks look like the bricks that people can purchase. So what I'm trying to say, but also trying to sound politically correct, is that people steal our bricks. So what we need to do is to have a brick that is DPW, where people can, but now it means putting more money to get a stamp or something on that brick, I don't know, but I'm told that there are a number of proposals that are waiting to come to my desk. They're not yet on the desk, by the way, because what is on the desk gets dealt with quickly and it leaves. So I think we need to have a meeting with all these people, especially with the CIDB that has just been inaugurated. It's a new board. Let them come and be answerable to some of the things. The 504 outstanding clinics and hospitals and what have you, I have also asked the IDT to look at whether they were also involved in the whole thing. I'm told by the CIDB that not everybody is registered with them, so some of these collapsing structures that we see are not necessarily because of them. I don't know. I'm also still learning a lot of things. But, Jefferson, really, thank you very much for allowing us to go through this meeting with you, and also to mention the fact that if we're done with this matter, okay, to mention the fact that we wanted the portfolio committee to understand that there is an impression created out there that the minister doesn't want to cooperate with you on, in as far as the public protector's report is concerned. I am here with the chief state law advisor. I'm sure you know him from the Department of Justice. I'm here with some of the lawyers that have been assisting us as we started working on this matter up until where it is now. If there's anything, my voice has been the one that has not been heard on this matter. And that silence meant a number of things to people that maybe there's something that I'm hiding. One thing about me is that I am governed strongly by rules, and I respect rules, and I respect this institution. We had meant to have this discussion today with the chairperson. And it also must be noted that I requested the meeting on the 1st of August. I said to the chairperson, as soon as the public protector has completed her work, please make sure that you give me a slot. And as soon as the public protector completed, I wrote to the chairperson on the 1st of August to request a slot, which she gave. Unfortunately, between that slot, between my request and her giving me the slot, the president referred the report to Parliament. Now, that meant a parliamentary process had to start. I then spoke to the chairperson and subsequently wrote to the chairperson to say that I think let us wait for the processes, because there are those of you who have been long in Parliament would know that the Speaker would choose whether they refer a report like that to an ad hoc committee, just get 10, 15 people to look at it, or they would take that and give it to the WIPARI, or they take that and give it to a portfolio committee, or two portfolio committees, or up to three, conferring on the matter. So we waited with the chairperson. Unfortunately, I had written to the chief whip, and I thought that they would make mention of it before the day of the portfolio committee. They didn't. And the rest is what you have seen. It was again that here she is, she doesn't want to cooperate with Parliament and so on and so forth. So I heard now that this meeting, this presentation itself will be on, will be off, will be on. So I said to my team, let's rather go. It's better for us to be there. If the chairperson would like us to, and the committee would like us to discuss this matter, we will do so. We have been told, chairperson, that you will now have a letter from police. They say that we should not discuss this matter until they are part of us.
Can I correct the chairperson?
It's not correct.
Minister, what happened is that sub-portfolio committee requested that we move this meeting to another date, because at the beginning, with the first report, we agreed as the two portfolio committees that we are going to deal with these two reports simultaneously, the Pretoria and the Durban one. So we agreed last week, Thursday, that we'll look into another date for the for you to come and brief the committee on the two leases. It's not police to say. Yes, Minister. So this time, it's not about you. It's about the two committees that I agree that will look for another date for you to come and brief the committee.
I really must mention, honourable members, that if Parliament is going to deal with this matter, I would ask Parliament to please deal with this matter. If Parliament is not going to deal with this matter, also we need to know that Parliament is not going to deal with the matter, because it is taking forever for some of us to answer to certain questions. And we sit in the National Assembly not because we cannot answer some of the honourable members who rise on points of order and so on. It's because of allowing time for you to be given your right spot to come in and participate. So now the position is that we cannot discuss this matter today. I think we need time frames, Chairperson. We need to know by when, because if we are going to discuss this matter, we need to know, is it going to be in a month's time, in 2 months' time? I have already shown you how much work we have to attend to. If we have to be in Parliament, I don't know whether advocate, am I covering it? Oh. I was told that we have to wait for the Minister of Police to be there. I don't know whether that is true. But if that is what they are saying, I don't see how we cannot come and account for our own work. Why do we have to wait for another department? I'm just saying that if that is the reason, then that is not a strong reason for me. Because the report is divided as to what the police have to deal with and what public works have to deal with. So we may not find a slot where both our diaries with the Minister of Police agree. So I just want to say, as you look for a date, if it is not suitable for him, make sure that I come and give my side of the story with the official.
I don't know whether I should open this for discussion, honourable members. Because the postponement of this meeting was due to the letter from sub-portfolio committee, and I consulted members to say this is not going to be discussed. And I don't feel comfortable for this matter to be reopened and be discussed yet, honourable members. Honourable Mwanyamabila with the first will be followed by Honourable Stan Hayes and Mazobe, Mama November.
Chairperson, I think the today's agenda was on the performance of the entity. Maybe I don't know whether I will say with due respect you made a mistake by allowing the minister to deal with the matter, because today we're talking about the performance. But nevertheless, I will propose that let the two chairpersons sit and agree on the matter, and they will communicate to the department, because as of now, you'll not even be able to say when is the matter going to be discussed. But let the two chairpersons sit and just come with the way forward. The members will hear from from you on the invite. But later, I would propose that they does not discuss this matter until you give us a way forward after you've discussed with the chairman of police.
No, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm disappointed that we're not discussing today. My recollection of last week's meeting was the fact that we would have the minister on the agenda today, which is why we moved the meeting forward by half an hour. Members went and prepared for it. I know I went through the documents over the weekend again. And to be, I found out through Honourable Robert Tarpey yesterday that, in fact, this was not going to take place. I mean, I think the longer we don't discuss it as a committee, the longer the perception has been created that something is being hidden. And I would urge Madam Chair that we do have this discussion and have the minister before us so that she can give us her side of the story. It's not good for her and not good for the public that this matter is being dealt with in this way. And I would urge that we don't need to sit with SAPS. I concur with the minister entirely. We don't need to sit with SAPS. They're responsible for another portfolio committee. I think that the report has identified failings in the Department of Public Works, which I would like to see how the minister is addressing. And therefore, I think the sooner we do it, the better. And I would urge, Madam Chair, that meeting is held, if we can, within a week, so that we can get this matter dealt with and start reassuring the public that, in fact, everything is above board and on track to being repaired.
Honourable Stain, within a week it's impossible. You know very well that there's a program that we are going to Northern Cape. And from Northern Cape, we are expected to go to Free State, though we are not yet informed, for 2 days to go and do our oversight work because there's going to be a People's Assembly in the Free State. So a week's time is impossible. Honourable Gaynor. Honourable Gaynor, sorry. Honourable my daughter.
So you start with my daughter. He okayed me to speak, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. One to agree that this is a very urgent matter, Honourable Chair. However, Chair, I think we'll be setting a wrong precedent to discuss the items that are not on the agenda. I don't think we'll control it if we allow it today, Chair. But what I want to agree is that the matter is urgent. I want to support what the Honourable Ngwenya Mabila said to say that can you please discuss it with the other chair and then advise the minister and all of us when are we going to deal with this particular matter. But I strongly object to discuss the items that are not on the agenda.
Honourable November.
Sorry, Mr. President, I am a Vala Lesos and the Esther Clark has slid. I'm just stating what they are saying. We have decided with that committee. But we have not decided on the decision yet. On the label, a whole lot of iman that can see crack as that we have done what. Of 100 test basic training, 100 training, also Alma Lassa. So we have to get one of the hard ministers now. Dit is al wat ons aanbelang stel, maar dit sal vir ons niks bat om nou op die dak te klim en alles te doen nie. Kom ons gaan stadig van naastige honde verbrand in bekke. Baie dankie, bedoel ons ons honde nie en ons het bekke nie. Dit is maar net een vrees in Afrikaans en baie dankie, voorzitter.
Dankie, 8 November. Ons vlees wil die but we need a translation. The Honourable Member says, Hashtag wonder what dogs said, that wants to bite. Things that are not yet properly processed, they end up getting disappointed. That in the long and short of it. That's the long and short of it. And I just want to correct something. I never said reopen and let's discuss. I'm saying I am available. I have been available. I am just being disappointed by the processes. That's all. Otherwise, my voice should have long been heard by someone.
But I thank you so much, and the honourable member, for the way you have dealt with the matter. And we will hear from you. I will hear and will respect your oversight missions that you're going to other places. But if maybe, if it is possible, after you've come back in the 2-3 weeks that we just dispose of this matter, when you maybe when you see the auditor's report, you'll understand why I behave like a hustler. I'll tell you, because there is such a lot of wrong that is happening that needs your attention to assist the minister. But thank you. I don't want to be tempted to get into the matter, but I see my lawyers here. I felt that we should, but I think we'll still come back when we have a date for you.
Thank you, Minister. I just want to put it on record so that all of us, when we go out of this meeting, should have the same understanding. We took a decision, a binding one, with the portfolio committee, sub-portfolio committee, that we are going to deal with these two reports simultaneously in a joint meeting. And the agreement, Minister, still standing. The only problem that we're having is to identify the date, and we will not change our agreement. We don't want to issue out conflicting statements. We want to get out of that meeting with one understanding and one statement. Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister, for coming. Today it has been a fruitful, informative meeting. I hope even in future we'll have the same meeting, because the entities were of, you know, they were a sort of a problem to us, and we are happy that some of the issues have been clarified. Thanks for coming. Thanks for the presenters. Thanks for the honorable members. The meeting is closed until further notice. Thank you very much.